Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Well, how the hell are you, Boston and surrounding regions? It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich certainly, Ken Laird, Stiz Jackson, all in a brand new building. And I will say the one thing about this new studio that we have is that these cameras are right up our nostrils. And damn, does my nose hair look good today. I mean, it is like you can see the slight thatch from my chest hair kind of poking out over the top. You can see that, you know, that I'm a seasoned gentleman. There's a little bit of gray in the thatch that's hanging out there.
Well, Jackson told us about his kink app last night. That might fit in nicely to one of his
So last night we did go out drinking, the occasion was to go drinking, because I'll never say no to that. But I guess we could kind of fake and say it was because we're blowing up the old building. And at one point in the conversation, Jackson, who is single and ready to mingle, he was showing us the apps that he's been using. And I think he has 6 dating apps, which if I was single, I would be doing the exact same thing. Why not? You know, you got to put the chum out in the ocean for the sharks to show up.
Right.
And there's one that was just all about kinky stuff. When you want to, you know, hook up with someone who dresses like a gerbil, or you know, a woman who likes to wear a diaper. And
well, no, not exactly like that. No, that's a little bit.
Oh, he's getting defensive.
I mean, it's just there. Is, you know, and
what are some of the kinks that are on there?
There's a lot of BDSM, if you will.
Okay,
so but I don't like that. Like, I don't like pain. I don't like to make anybody.
Then why are you on that app?
He's
because it's there,
on
man.
Because you're one of the furry guys. You like to dress up like a gerbil and dry hump, right?
Man,
okay.
If you build it, they will come.
I guess so. Hey, but you did show me some of the, you know, responses you've got from that app, and I was very impressed. Man, things are way different than they used to be. Like, I mean, if you're just looking to hook up, I mean, these things are basically just like to-go orders. You could be at like a club and look for somebody within like 2 blocks, and within an hour. Am I exaggerating, Jackson, at all?
I mean, no.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured. Things have definitely...
It's not hard now.
It has definitely changed.
No, by the way, I don't know whether I should take this the wrong way, but my camera is backwards. It's facing away from me, which is probably for the best.
Oh, is it really?
Anybody in the Twitch audience, but that's great.
Because you're in Keith's...
I'm in Keith's studio. He was looking good.
Or maybe just the camera person is choosing to shoot it the other way.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Until they say something nice. I am right now, it's kind of like, I guess I'm too tall on the camera because it's got a nice shot of my nipples, which is good.
It's supposed to automatically follow you. So do you not have a face cam?
I'm just too white. I blend into the wall.
Those creep me out. Well, we have a big show today. Chad Tracy will be joining us at 3:55, and it's always good to talk to him after a nice win. On top of that, we'll have Jeremy Fowler on with us. He's got some NFL stuff, including I don't know whether or not we should be offended as Patriots fans on where he has ranked Christian Gonzalez on his list this year. I'm not quite sure. Also, Rod Bradford will be in studio, but first, there's some stuff that happened yesterday, Stiz. Am I correct in that?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Ah, yes, indeed. Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777 and all the sevens. Come on, everybody. It's back on the Sox wagon, bitches.
Swinging a shot down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's hooking. It is out of here. Inside the pole. He picked that one up well. Mona. Adios. And it's 1-0 Red Sox.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Red Sox are no longer the worst team in their division. Everybody celebrate and rejoice. And just like the Yankees sweep, the Sox actually beat a damn good team last night. The White Sox being the first in their division. And they embarrassed the White Sox 8-1 at their own awful stadium. Is that the worst stadium outside of Tampa Bay?
Oh, no. Well, I've been to Wright Field. I ranked it 15th. I haven't been to every stadium, but I was there. It's not the worst.
You've ranked all the fields.
At one point, I did, and I put that one 15th. But granted, I have been to them all, so that I really can't rank them until I've been to them all. But
give me three that are worse than the White Sox field.
I didn't like Dodger Stadium. I think it's way overrated. I hate it. So I put it in there. I know people love it. Some people have it toward the top.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a cookie cutter mess with no nostalgia. But I was there in a day game.
Maybe no nostalgia?
I don't know. It seemed plain to me. But I haven't been to the mall. I think the Trop has got to be obviously in the mix. Philadelphia, I don't like the whole Philadelphia four stadiums in one central location.
That's
like,
a weird setup.
It's just a weird setup.
Yeah.
Although Citizens Bank Park, I guess, probably just on its own. If it was somewhere else, it's fine. I'd have to go through the list.
Because now that Oakland isn't there anymore.
Right.
Because that was easy. It was 1A, 1B with that in Tampa Bay. I always thought that the White Sox field was, is it right field? Is that what they call it now? It was just kind of almost like the go-to as just complete and total trash.
Yeah.
But it didn't look that great on television last night. But you can thank the man with the stash for one hell of a bounce back game. Peyton Tully had 6 shutout innings, 2 hits, 6 Ks. He retired 15 of his last 16. He looked fantastic. And before this, he was just really, really bad. 1-4 with a 5.3 ERA for over his previous first 5 starts. But last night, the guy was in control. And how about the offense as of late there, Ken? Rafaela, 2-run homer there in the second. Monasterio had a dinger himself, went deep. And Contreras, ever since he got in that fake fight, the guy has been hitting like a man who doesn't want to serve his suspension. 2-for-4 with a double, 2 RBIs. He's 8-for-21 with 8 RBIs in 4 games since he had that fake fight out there with the Nationals.
You've got to tell yourself not to be fooled, because we have been down this road where they win the opening game of the series in Colorado and then they blow 2 in an awful fashion. They won the first one against the Nationals at home and they lost in like blowout fashion in the final 2 at Fenway. However, there are a lot of signs, if you're a believer, to kind of dream on with stuff you're talking about. Contreras obviously carrying the team, but up and down the lineup, you got to give Chad Tracy, our guest at 355, a lot of credit. He has seemingly like stabilized the lineup where they get contributions up and down. Even Durbin's not hitting that well, but Wong is laying down bunts. Siegler's like a factor at the top of the order. Duran was the last couple games coming out of it a little bit. They get contributions from everybody of late. I mean, it's only a week, but you swept the Yankees from 4 at home.
Yep.
And if you take this series against a first-place team, then you got to start scratching your head. And all of a sudden, they're out of the cellar. I think they're 4 out of the wild card still, but they have only like 3 or 4 teams ahead of them.
Yeah, so I mean, they were just, last week they had 7 teams ahead of them?
Yeah.
Now, you're right, there's only 3 that are ahead of them now, 4 games out of the wild card. I can't believe, as bad as they've been, that this is where they're at. When the hell does the suspension come down on Contreras, by the way?
No, I would like to ask Chad Tracy about it. It's bizarre. Everybody else that was involved in that has had theirs come down.
Yeah.
And reduced. So I would think he gets reduced from 7 to 6 or 5, but why not do it? Maybe they do it today and, you know, it goes through the All-Star break.
It's weird that it's taken this long.
Very weird.
And I had no idea. I had to get this clarified yesterday. I think Bradford, you reached out to Bradford, but I was like, well, if he's suspended, does that mean he can't play in the All-Star game? I guess he can.
He can, yes.
Okay.
And he said he would be in the Home Run Derby, too, so that maybe that's part of the negotiations.
I hate when Red Sox are in the Home Run Derby. Because there's history of people jacking themselves up when they're in the Home Run Derby. It's not good. It's not good for you. And to be honest, the Home Run Derby's not entertaining anymore.
It depends on the format, which they've changed again this year. It was timed. Now it's not timed. So I'll give it a shot. You're probably right. But every year I kind of get sucked into, this is the one All-Star game that matters. Maybe it's because there's nothing else going on in the sports world. You have to try to make something of it.
You know what? Then just don't watch sports.
But if Contreras is in it, I will watch.
If the sports suck, don't watch sports.
This is your leader. This is your heart and soul. This is your cornerstone of the future. Wilson Contreras.
Sure. But it just frustrates me because they all have to act super excited that it's another home run. At least Berman's not. Is Berman still doing it? Because I know they brought him back for an encore a couple years ago. And it was like, oh, dude. I don't hear the back. It drags. I'm always watching something else. I just check the highlights.
But if Contreras is in it, he might fight somebody.
Because there's kids out there and they're like hanging around and it just doesn't seem like a serious sporting event. I don't know. I'm not into it. I've said this 1,000 times. If the sports suck, don't watch the sports. If the sports suck, don't talk about the sports.
But do you think Breslow is saving his job? Because Contreras, some of these guys that he acquired are peaking heading into the All-Star break, and he does have a case to be made, at least to be kept around as the pitching coordinator or some specialist with the team. I don't believe the offense will sustain, especially when they lose Contreras.
Yeah.
But Bradford, who's going to join us in three, did this on the weekend. They were taking grades from listeners on, you know, how what grade would you give Craig Breslow at the halfway point? And it was everywhere. He had a bunch of calls, B, B plus, C. I mean,
how could they possibly give him a B plus?
Well, because look at everybody he acquired. I mean, all his pitchers have hit. Ranger Suarez, all star. Wilson Contreras has been, you know, a stud. They finally found a first baseman. Sonny Gray's 10-1.
Look what where they are in the standings. It's like, you know, you are what your record.
Rich.
Who is the genius who said you are what your record says you are?
That was Bill. I don't know.
I actually have no idea.
Eddie Green. I don't know.
I think it was Parcells or I don't know, but somebody very wise said that. But it's true. It's like this team, the record is still bad. And you know what? Can he save his job? Absolutely. If they continue to play as well as they have in the past couple of weeks and win a couple series, especially against good teams, yeah, sure. I mean, he could save his job, but I don't know if that's the best thing. Like, if they end with a mediocre record, like if they just come out of the basement and end in mediocrity, like they almost don't make the playoffs, or God forbid, let's say they make the playoffs but then get bounced in the first round.
If they make the playoffs, it's a success. That's all you can ask for.
Why is it a success if the Red Sox just make the playoffs and get bounced?
It just is.
This is the Boston Red Sox.
This is a lost season. If they somehow scrape together a playoff season out of this, it would be incredible.
No.
It might be historic.
I hate when people do that. Is that they forget how awful things started.
You got your fall guy.
I mean, I guess they can point at that.
Absolutely.
Which isn't a good thing as a Red Sox fan, because you know that Breslow's not good at his job. He's not. And maybe he can save his ass by this team rallying and playing well, but I don't think that they should change their philosophy going into the trade deadline. I don't think they're anywhere near.
I'm on Pena watch. I'm a Jeremy Pena watch. If they get a slugging shortstop to add to this crew, they could be legit. The AL is winnable. This is why I get frustrated with people who Forsberg wrote this piece in NBC Sports Boston talking about the Celtics situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like, it makes sense that they're going to retool for a couple years, to paraphrase, and take advantage in a couple years. But you just let the Knicks win a title. That's not... This was a winnable season you let pass by.
So what you're saying is that with everything going in the direction that it's going...
Yes.
And let's say that magically Roman Anthony gets healed and gets out there and starts playing well.
Marcelo Meyer, your ace Crochet last year, Trevor Story. You've got four guys that are on the shelf that you could easily have made an excuse, you know, for why the season is the way it is. If they climb back into a playoff race, they should add, and then you've got to give Breslow his credit. I'm not saying they will, but you have to. He saves his job. But he's got to go out and add to this team. Absolutely.
Well, we will ask Rob Bradford about that when he seems in here in studio in about 45 minutes. But in the meantime, let's talk about something I'm way more interested about, and that is this whole Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown love-hate fest. And the stuff that's coming out. Like, I heard a Windhorse clip today that actually made me laugh out loud.
But see, this is your personal thing with Windhorse. He could say anything and you would get rattled by it.
He can, because his like voice, I'm never ready for it. When Stiz plays the clip, like, I'm never ready for his voice to sound the way that it does. It like tickles my ears. I've got to tell you, I've got a dish. I've got dish on these guys. And I'm just never ready for it. So you will hear Windhorse, and you will hear Shams, and you will hear Jason Tatum himself talk about the behind the scenes, because now they're talking. Now Jaylen and Jason are both talking.
Well, not to each other.
No, not to each other at all. But they're definitely talking to, like, as Tatum's promoting his brand new book, Hey, I'm a Baby Basketball Player. That's the name of it, I think. It's called, like, Basketball Baby or Slam Dunks a Lot or something like that.
Slam Dunks a Lot.
I know. It's got some name like that.
Good Morning America. He's getting major.
Right. Good night, Dunkaroo Kid. So we will get to all of that. We're not going anywhere. Back in 2 minutes.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtenlieb, Ken Laird, and you can give us a call, 617-779-7937. I forgot, in the new studio, I need a way to see the calls at some point, if we could maybe set that up.
The call screener?
Well, I just want to see, you can control the calls. I just want to be able to see him at some point. 617-779-7937. Also, you can go to the Odyssey app and launch us a take grenade.
You just press that little microphone button, leave us a message, and we play them in the 5 o'clock hour. But you already know that. All right. The Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown thing has been fantastic. Thank you very much for people stealing our takes all over the place yesterday. But my God. We were just on fire with some of these takes. It was kind of funny, though, when, you know, Stiz brought up the whole thing about the way that Jason Tatum said goodbye on his Instagram to Jaylen Brown versus Marcus Smart and Time Lord. It truly is astounding when you put the two next to each other. I mean, he was using like emojis. He was saying my dog for life and using all these like phrases about we're going to win another chip together. Not even saying championship, like chip. And he was like talking about like, you know, how one day we're going to play again together and do this. And then with Jaylen Brown's, it was just Times New Roman. And hey, man, we won a championship. And we also got close to doing it again, played together. And he just basically listed like a Wikipedia worth of information.
I think this audio, we'll get to it at some point, of Tatum speaking is even less impressive than the Times New Roman. Somehow, yeah. It's less emotional than that was.
But you're right, Ken, because they're both speaking now. And they're both, and I like the fact that they're being asked about it and the media is not shying away from it. But there was a report from Shams Charania that kind of sets the tone for where we are now with this relationship. Stiz, mind hitting that clip, could you?
On the court, they were great. But like over the last year or so, that personal relationship, it was as close to like, you know, not existent as you could have. But on the court, they were amazing, hardworking professionals together.
Okay, so I heard that report, and a lot of people are making a lot out of that. To me, I don't think that's that big of a deal. I think that if you look at some of the best basketball relationships and base basketball teams, these guys aren't always like best friends off the court. They just have an understanding. When we're together, we're going to absolutely kill it. I think where things went sour was when Jaylen Brown threw a shot across the bow when he said that this was his best season. That's, I think, when it became more than just, hey, we're not hanging out, because that's perfectly normal. Not everybody needs to hang out with your teammate at all times and have barbecues.
He said non-existent. That seems extreme. Now,
you know what? He's got Deuce. He's got a family. It's different. Like when people have kind of families and things like that, you don't always get to just hang out and be best friends.
You and I had families. We went out with the guys last night, shot some pool, very organic. Well, having a good time, having a beer. I mean,
that's because
you're
we're
a busy
close
guy.
Like that, baby.
Why not? And you paid?
It's because I like drinking with people I like.
Tatum and Brown can't do that. They can't have a little billiards, a little nine ball, you know, on a Tuesday night.
All right, I'll say the difference between all of us is that we don't travel together. We don't sit, you know, on a plane together. We're not like constantly next to each other. If we were, I'd probably never want to see you guys when I got home anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, as much as I love you guys to death, and like the guys on the, you know, team probably love each other, like they've got families and things. I don't think means a lot to me. I think what means everything is I believe it changed after the season was over.
It was getting toxic, or they feared it would get toxic.
No question.
And trickle over to the court itself.
Yes.
It already had.
But I also do think that it's something that could have been squashed. I think that if they really wanted to put in the effort, Brad could have sat down and just been like, all right, dude, you know, Jaylen, you know how that came across, right? Quit it. Let's go win a championship. I'll put a good team around you two. Let's go do it again. It could have been saved. I don't think it was to the point where you couldn't do it anymore.
Because you know where Jones went with this quickly, and that was, this is the smear campaign. This is the Celtics and maybe Brad Stevens directly reaching out to Shams and putting this into the water to sort of explain away why they got such a trash return and had to deal the guy, that Jaylen was becoming a problem. And then he reached out to Zach Lowe. And what was the Zach Lowe report that he had?
Well, the Zach Lowe report, I believe 100%. And that is because we heard a hint of this during the Giannis situation. Sam Amick from the New York Times hinted on this. And Zach Lowe's report was that Jaylen Brown influenced his trade destination by leaking information to the teams that he didn't want to go to. And that was exactly what we heard, that Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, said one of the reasons he went with Miami is that he had gotten some sort of information, now we know where it's from, Jaylen himself and his people, that if Jaylen was to become a member of the Bucks, that he wouldn't have signed an extension. And if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm going, well, I don't want this guy. He said he doesn't want to be here. I'll take Tyler Herro. I mean, he's obviously the cooler dude of the two. I mean, look, the guys.
It could get us 3 second-round picks instead of 2.
Right, right. So that's nothing new, but, you know, as a Celtics fan, does that piss you off? Yes. That Jaylen Brown was doing whatever it took. Not whatever it took. That Jaylen Brown was influencing the type of value you were going to get back. And maybe he is the one responsible for you not getting Giannis.
Now, do you believe this? You disagree with Jones. This is not a Celtics smear Jaylen campaign. That he's out there muddying the waters and that he had become non-existent in his relationship with guys on the team.
No, because
I am tempted to believe Jones.
So here's the thing about I think if I was Jaylen Brown, I'd do the exact same thing. Like if I knew I was about to be traded and there were certain cities I didn't want to go to, hell yeah, I would be like, dude, I'm not going to your town. Like, I'm not gonna resign.
It's hard to even blame him for that.
No.
I don't even think Celtics fans would be pissed at him for that.
No, but you can be pissed, not even at him, but at the whole situation, because it did influence the value you were going to get back.
Yeah.
Because if Jaylen Brown hadn't done that, there's a chance he would have gotten Giannis. If Jaylen, you know what, who knows what other of these great deals where you would have gotten some sort of value. Jaylen was leaking information to that owner and going, you send me there. I don't care what you're sending back. I ain't going to resign with you. So, yeah, as a Celtics fan, I'm pissed that Jaylen did that, but I'm not pissed at Jaylen. You understand? It's the situation that this whole thing came with the fact that we're at this situation pisses me off as a Celtics fan.
I think what's easier is just to go back to the stream every night and saying it was his favorite season. I mean, we heard that with our own ears every day. It was incessant. And that's enough, I think, to convince some people that, look, this was going down a bad path.
Yep.
I mean, the guy was, like, declaring war on the team, or at least the team as it is when Tatum is back.
Yeah.
His favorite version was non-Tatum basketball. So I kind of am tempted to fall for it, I guess, if Jones may accuse me of that, of falling for the Celtics spin on this. And it does make me, as all this stuff starts to come out, give Brad a little bit of a pass. It's still a horrible return. I still think they should have waited. Like you, I still think they should have tried to make it work for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
However, if all this is going on and you have only 2 places you can trade him, what are your options? Like, and if the owner is saying,
your options, keep him.
Get out of here.
Your options, keep him. That's it.
Well, not if your boss is saying trade him.
But
your boss said don't smash the studio yesterday. You listened.
I did. I didn't smash the studio.
Okay, Brad. So if Chisholm's saying get this guy out of here before the opener, you have no choice.
I think that there is a situation where Brad Stevens could have been like, this, listen, money-wise, it doesn't make a difference. Keep him for another year. You can get the Paul George contract. Nobody's going after Paul George. Nobody wants Paul George. You want this deal at the end of next season? You're going to get it. And you're going to save the same amount of money. 1 year of a contract. Because we're not going to extend Jaylen. And we can do it another year before he gets pissed and becomes like somebody who he wants out. I don't think he was in a position where he was going to be like that. This, you couldn't smooth this over. I do want to hear this Windhorst audio, though, okay? And matter of fact, when we get back, Windhorst is like trying to turn this into something like so salacious that this is like going to be, you know, a 30 for 30 or some crap like that. Sometimes this like crap just happens. You know, you have a situation where ownership gets involved and they're cheap and they're a private equity group and they want to cut bait and it's just that simple, but they try to turn it into something super salacious. Listen, they may not have been the best of friends, but I don't think they hated each other. But Windhorst, oh, he's all in on this. He is digging in, my man. And also we'll hear from Jaylen and Jason, who both spoke on this, and we'll get to that right after this.
Rich and Ken with Ted on WEEI.
Hey, this is Jaylen. I'm probably on Twitch right now lowering my value, so leave a message after the beep. Peace.
What up? It's JT. Hey, man, just wanted to say I'm so, so sorry to hear the news, man. It was a great honor playing with you, man. Remember when we got bounced the first round of the playoffs? Man, that was crazy, right? Anyway, just calling to let you know, man, I was just thinking about it. Remember we had went out that night and you said you forgot your credit card and the bill, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I'll pick up the bill, just Venmo me later, you know what I mean? I don't think I ever got that Venmo from you. You know, no big deal, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, because you know you're my guy, but I was just thinking about it, you know what I mean, from all the memories. So, yeah, if you get around to it, you know what I mean, just Venmo me whenever you get a chance. But, yeah, man, thanks for all the memories and, you know, good looking forward, you know what I mean? And, yeah, man, talk to you soon. My Venmo name is JT23. Thanks.
It was Jason Tatum by way of Chelsea.
with the old landline voicemail, the old school after the beep.
Well, of course, he's an analog guy.
Love it.
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Stiz. Good old Dale Ordway, the other room, Mr. Jackson, who was showing me some of his dating apps yesterday, which is just a fascinating world, really a fascinating world.
I really didn't want to get involved in that. I mean, you were doing a deep dive, and I was nervous. I really don't want to know that much about what's going on there in that chat.
I wanted to see his profile photos. I wanted to see the back and forth. And, like, you go from zero to let's hook up within maybe three texts. It's really it's unbelievable that... I guess it's just acceptable. People just accept. Listen, I'm horny. Let's go.
I think that's a little overblown. I mean, Stiz, do you believe that's happening with Jackson? He's going from three texts to hooking up as often as he says he is?
I don't know. But I will say, shoot is going to shoot. I will say that. And Jackson shoots his shot.
So do the girls to Jackson. Like, they shoot their shot. Oh, you should see these texts back and forth. Like, they are very forward. And maybe it's because he's on not only regular dating apps, but he's on that kink website, which is strange. And actually, to be quite honest, it's the regular dating apps that things are heating up quickly.
Did I see one of them? He had like a station logo and a microphone visible on the app. That's a little...
He's famous. Let the world know.
Hey, use it. Use what you got.
That's right. Use what you got, Jackson. You do that. I'm not going to hate on that. Hell yeah. You know, I mean, listen, I'm kind of famous. You've probably heard my parody songs.
Used to work for Howard Stern. Hey
Hooters. You know, I'm the guy who's saying Hey Hooters. All right. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We love taking your calls. As I said, I don't check social media most of the time during the show. It's too distracting. So we love talking to the people anyway. And also the Odyssey app. You can launch a take grenade, press that little microphone button, leave us a message. We play it in the 5 o'clock hour. By the way, Chad Tracy will be in studio, or actually will be on the phone with us at 3:55. Rod Bradford in studio, and Jeremy Fowler, too, to give us some NFL updates in the 4 o'clock hour. But I do want to hear some of this stuff from Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst he's an insider, and he's the one who when they were talking about the Celtics and when the Jaylen Brown, before the trade happened, he was like, they're calling everybody. Just everybody. I mean, the phone is just, it's ringing off the hook, and Brad Stevens can't get enough. His arm, it's sore. So let's play this clip from Brian Windhorst talking about what's going on or what was going on behind the scenes between Jason and Jaylen.
I don't think that, you know, Brad wanted to totally say why he did this, because it might be considered a little bit coarse and offensive, because obviously Jaylen Brown is viewed as one of the great Celtics.
It might be coarse and offensive. As to why they did this?
Great words. I mean,
what is offensive? Unless he's meaning that it's because they truly thought that he was as bad as the analytics guy is saying that he is. Like that Yahoo guy that came on, it was damning the numbers that he threw out there.
I know Ted ate that up, but I mean, Brad said it was a small part. I know Brad lied a little bit at the press conference, but I don't really think that's coarse and offensive. Like the Celtics behind the scenes were like, this guy's really no good, we're getting rid of him. That's
coarse and offensive.
I think coarse and offensive is shouting matches with Tatum, blow up.
There's no shouting matches with Tatum. Like we haven't heard. You think if there was a shouting match between Jaylen Brown and Tatum, that we wouldn't have heard about it?
Well, we haven't heard anything. I mean, you were citing, you know, the not only the Instagram post, but also we have the audio of him, you know, speaking on the record. It's just, it is nothing. There is no love there at all. Zero. Non-existent. Shams was right. So that's coarse and offensive. And Tracy McGrady said problems deep within the organization. Whatever that is coarse and offensive. I don't think it's analytics. Analytics is nerd stuff. That's not offensive.
Stiz.
I will say, Rich, and you know this, I was on the side of, this is sports radio, media. Ken Laird is overblowing it. But when
I'm telling you,
I was like, you know what? I take it all back, Ken. You were right all along.
All right. Well, let's analyze this like a sports radio host. Let me hear what, do you have the Jason Tatum clip or do you have Jaylen Brown? Like, which one do we have?
They're both like shot on a recorder from like 80 yards away, but they're still worth hearing.
All right. Let me hear a little bit of these guys, you know, because they're all being asked about it now. And the one thing that is kind of great, and I'm never going to be anyone who knocks a player for, you know, speaking. Now, I do think that many times it's to their own detriment. In this case, I mean, if Jaylen Brown just wouldn't have said anything, who'd have known if any of this would have gone down? I think it would have anyway, because I honestly believe that the private equity group was trying to cut bait. I think they were trying to save money.
Well, that's a good point. Even Jaylen earlier said things went left at some point, and he's not sure why. For him to say that is kind of revealing that there was, in this last few weeks, the organization turned on him.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yep. And I guarantee you it's when Chisholm sat down and the Sixth Street partners, they all sat down with Brad Stevens and they're like, this is not sustainable. There's no way that we are going to be able to have 70%. I mean, Brad even said it, 70% of our money tied up in these two guys. We got to find some way to save some cash. And Brad's like, we're not going to be able to get rid of it, you know, for a while, because we're going to have to take on someone that matches the salaries, but we can find someone who has a smaller contract. And they did that with Paul George, who stinks. And I am not counting on playing at all next season. Anytime anyone puts him in the mix as to how good this team's going to be, I just dismiss it. Because Paul George is broken. He's like a 36-year-old dude who, like, you ever heard of, like, a guy right before he dies all of a sudden has this, like, crazy strength and does something unbelievable and then just...
That was the series?
That was the series against the Celtics. Paul George is basically dead.
Keith said he was ranked 44th among current NBA players in some ranking. I'll take that as he's okay.
Dude, he's going to be 37 next year. Like, he's going to be 37 by the time the season's over.
You love LeBron. You think he's going to swing the East.
I don't love LeBron. I love LeBron if he's a Celtic, because it's chaos.
And how old's he?
I mean, he's like 90.
Okay,
but let me hear this clip. Is this Jaylen Brown, Stiz?
This is Jaylen Brown speaking on where he got traded.
Okay,
I got no idea like what it's gonna feel like. It's probably gonna feel a bit weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's still weird now. My brain is like, Philly, like of all places, like why would you do that?
Why would you do that, Brad?
Did you say Brad? Why would you?
Well, I didn't say Brad.
But Brad's. I mean, one of the two ultimate decision makers, Tim and the owners.
That's not bad. That's him. Like, it is a shocking situation that he was traded to the Sixers. I mean, I don't blame Jaylen for being like, how can this be possible? They wanted me to play them six times a year or four times in the regular season per year. That is amazing that it happened that way.
Did you see the mayor of Philadelphia spiking the football on TV?
No.
Like, the mayor of Philadelphia was on, oh, man, maybe it was Lebatard had him on. And he was just like, hey, the amount of times the Celtics have fleeced us, we finally fleeced those guys. Woo, here we go. And it just, these guys are so sure and certain that they are going to be the team to beat next year that I have to hope, because I think it's a reality that they could implode. I mean, honestly, it's like when it's let's say that there's 10 seconds left and someone's got to take the last shot. I mean, you've got three dudes who think that they're the alpha.
Yeah, but JB will be on his best behavior because he's been talked about so much and the usage is out there. That's why Philly has all offseason to kind of structure and rein him in. I mean, I know he'll revert to that at some point. He'll want to prove people wrong. But I think he respects Embiid, even though he called him a flopper. Remember, he was talking about how they cooked him in the playoffs. Like, I think he's going to fit in, at least for the first year. I mean, you're right. Philly's a loser franchise. They could implode. That's a fact.
I think.
However, if I'm betting on it, I think they get much further than the Celtics do next year.
You know what I'm getting a weird feeling? You know what I'm starting to think this team's going to be, the 76ers team? It's going to be the Celtics when they got Kyrie. Remember when Kyrie showed up and Jason Tatum was like on such a good trajectory, and then it almost seemed like Tatum plateaued?
Yeah, like, they deferred to him too much.
They deferred to him too much. I think that's what's going to happen with Maxey. Yeah. I think Maxey's going to take a step back. I think that there's going to be moments that are going to be frustrating between Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid. It's not going to be anything like super egregious, but it's going to come to a boil near playoff time.
Good.
And I think it's just going to completely throw off any kind of rhythm that Maxey and Embiid may have had. And I know that they obviously aren't a great team,
so
but they beat the Celtics.
If you could pick either roster and your coach of choice, whose roster is better, Celtics or Sixers right now?
So, okay, there's two different questions. Like, who has more talent? You could probably say the Sixers, because it's just more players that are very good. Mm-hmm. But which one do I think is easier to coach and you could turn into a better competitor? I think the Celtics. I think it's cleaner. I think that the positions are more well-defined.
You're buying in. You're buying into the Brad vision.
I'm not saying it's a better team than if Jaylen was here. It's a worse team than if Jaylen was here. But if you're going to ask me which one do I think has better potential to play organized basketball and not step on each other's feet and to be a better competitor, yeah, I agree with Vegas. I think the Celtics are better in that aspect. Mm. But the sad thing is that they would have been even better if they had a Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
So I'm not sitting here, you know, saying, hey, they got rid of Jaylen Brown and all of a sudden this team's going to go win a championship. I don't believe that at all. But I do still think that they
are better.
Well, put it this way. Sixers have a much higher... Sixers have a higher ceiling. Celtics may have a higher floor. Does that make sense?
That's fair. That's fair. I think that we're going to see Jason Tatum go next level. I think the way we saw Jaylen Brown go next level without Tatum, you're going to see Tatum go next level without Jaylen. And I think that Tatum's next level is going to be higher than anything Jaylen could do because Tatum is a more talented basketball player.
What about Pritchard? What's his level?
Oh, Jalen Brunson, baby! Jalen Brunson plus 10.
And Brad, you're going to let Brad cook with all these pieces? Ugo's in the Summer
Come
League,
on,
by the way.
Ugo!
Ugo's playing in the Summer League. I can't believe it.
They're... Oh, and he's dominating that Summer League. Everyone loves Summer League. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls. Also, Tom Brady's talking, and Bill Belichick's back in the news. What year is it? It is very strange. And we will have Rob Bradford in studio as well. Chad Tracy joins us right around 4 o'clock.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Required.
It's Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Is this the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Oh, hell yeah, it is.
Is this our new Bel-Air mansion? Don't you feel invigorated by the new studio? I know you were very nostalgic yesterday about the collapse of 83 Leo.
I like the studio.
It is pretty nice.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I got an office, not to brag, you know. Operations manager. Yeah, I have things to do over there. I was here at 5 a.m. I don't want to say that, but just you get the nice view over the parkway. You see some action. Like, it feels like we're elevated. We are literally elevated.
Our old studio used to be a cavern, and I remember when it was a television studio for a while, like, they would block out all the windows, and there would be times where I would come in at, like, 3:30 in the morning when I was doing mornings, and, you know, it was dark. And you get in, and then you would leave at, like, 11 and not realize it had been snowing the entire time, and it would just, you'd feel like... Like you were Dracula. Like your whole schedule is backwards.
You got a covered garage here, so if it does snow, there's no excuses. You got to make it in. I mean, it's beautiful.
Great bar across the street.
Yeah.
Like that.
What does the garage have to do with getting from my house to here in a snowstorm?
Well, some of us have spent the night at this place in the old building, and you get snowed in. By the time you wake up in the morning, there's 2 feet of snow on the ground. You can't leave. So it helps, believe me.
I just love how, was it Christian who had never seen the hook and string game that the bar had? Oh, it was Eustace? That's legitimately, there was 3 Christmases ago, it's the only thing I wanted. And that was that piece of wood that you nail to your wall that has a hook at the bottom, and there's like an iron ring on a string, and you stand about like 5 feet away from it, and your whole goal is to just get the ring on the hook.
Oh, I've never seen that either.
Yeah, I walked into the bar, no. Rich and Christian are playing. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing?
It's the stupidest game in the history of games, and it's more addictive than crack. You just stand there, and it's like, I want to put the ring on the hook.
Wow, look at that.
Put the ring on the hook.
It's literally called the hook and ring game.
Yeah, it's a hook and ring game, right. It's for morons like me. It's like, it's people who are easily entertained by shiny things. And because there's not a bar that I go to, and if that thing's up there, I instantly go right to it.
Put one here.
No, we would get no work done. We would get absolutely no work done. And I actually got good at it after a while. I'm not bad. The trick is you got to do a little curveball, hit to the side.
You were on a fire yesterday. You didn't lose the pool with 4-0?
Yeah, well, that was great. I was undefeated in pool. That was because we were doing partners, and my partners were always kicking ass. And that
Jackson,
partner being
Jackson
you.
Jackson was your opponent.
Yes, and Jackson was indeed my opponent. By the way, this was the other day we were talking about, you know, soccer and everything. And I, of course, you always hear it when you talk about the World Cup. Somebody's like, nobody's watching the World Cup. Well, that is obviously not true.
Oh, the ratings have been crazy.
The ratings. So the ratings for... The average ratings for the Knicks series, which was one of the most watched finals in years, the average ratings was 20.6 million viewers. That awful U.S. The good game, U.S. Bosnia-Herzegovina, the average on that was 26.4 million. But the Belgium one, that awful game, 36.8 million people.
Yeah, a lot at stake, though.
It nearly doubled the NBA Finals.
Wow.
So, yes, people are watching it, and I have to be honest, if you are a member of the U.S. men's national soccer team, that's a horrible way to go out.
Who's tougher, Wemby or Pulisic?
Oh, God. Well, Pulisic just like stinks apparently on the big stage. I'm pretending like I know what I talk about. I just know what everyone says. Yeah, I guess he's awful.
I think he stinks. He stinks defensively. He seems like a one-sided player, one-dimensional.
I don't know. All I know is that Wembanyama like sat down during like the most important games. He like just got winded.
Yeah.
Dude just got winded. All right, let's go to Richie on line one. Oh, this is where we have to figure out the new equipment. So here, I'm going to turn this around to you.
Oh, you sure you trust me this? I think Stiz can do this.
Can Stiz pull things up? All right.
I can try. Here, ready? Line one.
Is this
can
Richie?
Can you hear me?
Richie, what's up, buddy? Yeah. How you doing, my man?
Good, good. I'd like to, you know, you guys, great, great discussion, great show. I just like to weigh in on the discussion a little bit. You know, I'm glad that Brown is gone. I like Brown as a, you know, he was great, a great player. But somewhere, you know, I think what we're all forgetting about is Celtic pride. And I don't know about any other Celtic that went out on the limb with their mouth like Jaylen Brown did. You know, Larry Bird, all those guys, you know, when the franchise was built around Larry Bird and Paul Pierce and all those guys, Kevin Garnett didn't come in trying to take over. And nobody ever tried to take over on Bird. And when he was getting ready to pass the torch to Lewis, Reggie Lewis, nobody was going to try to take the torch from him because that was the arrangement. See, Brown started running his mouth. They tried to tell him, you know, calm down. Jason Tatum tried to talk to him about that. And you know, he just kept on with these podcasts and all this other stuff and running his mouth.
The only thing I'm going to disagree with you with is that Jaylen was here first. So, I mean, it was his team, and then Jason Tatum showed up. So you could argue
that he was here first.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any difference. If Tatum came and they wanted to build a franchise around Tatum for some reason other than Brown, then so be it.
Well, Richie, thanks for the call, Richie. The one thing, though, about all this is that there are basketball reasons why Jaylen Brown shouldn't be here. And I'm all about that. Like, as a matter of fact, if you were just to tell me that you did not want to get locked in to five more years of Jaylen Brown at that money because you believe the two players are redundant and you want to try to find a way to get in another player that you can spend good
Giannis,
money on.
Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah, it would have made
total sense to everybody, I think.
I think that that's a decent basketball explanation. But the fact that you traded him for garbage, and there was no reason that you had to trade him for that garbage. You could have kept Jaylen for another year, and everything would have been exactly the same.
But the more you add it up, though, and Jaylen said he doesn't know where it went left, and coarse and offensive is what Windhorst said, I think the caller's kind of right. Like, the Twitch stuff sent the organization over the edge, and they know they can't say it publicly, but they were so off-put by the favorite season stuff and the incessant social media, they turned on him. And they can't say it.
Okay, well, let's say they turned on him, and they soured on him. And then you find out you're getting nothing back because he's obviously made an enemy, and he's made a reputation of talking trash. Right, Don't you think the right thing to do would have been to sit Jaylen down and go, Jaylen, we want to keep you here for another year. Just do me a favor, stay off Twitch.
No, you can't do that, because then you're telling him to shut up and dribble. You cannot do that. It's becomes a whole thing.
Or you don't even need to do that. Just play. Like, you guys are obviously get along on the court. Like, you guys play well together on the court. There was no basketball reason for getting rid of him once you found out you were getting garbage.
Correct.
You could have kept him around.
It was Twitch. Coarse and offensive Twitch language. The caller is absolutely right. It was not Celtic pride.
I guess Celtic pride
is not going on and saying it's the favorite season of your career. He shot his way out of town.
I'm now actually kind of excited that Jaylen Brown is with the Sixers. Because I have a feeling that it's a recipe for disaster. And they're going to start off the first 2 months, you are going to be so pissed as a Celtics fan.
Like Showtime Lakers.
Oh, it's going to be a highlight reel. But they're going to get sick of each other because there's three alphas. And teams with three alphas don't usually end up doing well. They end up imploding. And things don't go well.
And Embiid's not an alpha. He's like...
He is absolutely an alpha.
No, because he's only healthy like 25% of the time. Yeah, so you can't be an alpha that way.
Sure. I understand that. To that point, you're probably right. All right, let's go to Kelvin on line one. Kelvin, Stiz, you mind popping him up? What's up, Kelvin? How's it going? What's up, bud? Kelvin.
I've been saying this since the last year. Mm-hmm. Everything was Tatum. And Brown is going to get tired of that. When they play the same position, everything, for me, he played more aggressive than Tatum. Tatum always was doing layups and stupid things. Dunk the freaking ball.
Yeah.
But they always Tatum. When they do the same thing in the court, one day he's going to get tired. Right here. Boom. It happened.
So, Kelvin, there is an interesting, I guess, thing that was floated out there. And I forget who said this. This might have been Zach Lowe. Who's the one who came out and said that during the playoffs that Brad Stevens was pissed off?
They were going off script.
Because Jaylen Brown was going off script.
Yeah.
Which maybe I kind of, which maybe it was Sam Amick who said that from the New York Times. And if that's the case, all right, I see why you'd be mad. But the one thing I'll say to that is your plan sucked. Like, your plan was jack up threes over and over again. So maybe I don't mind a guy going off script.
Not during the regular season. They were not, like, three happy all year.
But during the playoffs, they were.
Well, right. But they blamed Jaylen for that. They got stagnant, and they went back to hero ball and chucking threes.
How is that Jaylen's fault when he's one of the only guys that was driving it to the rim?
I mean, was he? I mean, I guess.
Yes, he was. He was one of the few players that was driving it to the rim when everyone else was jacking up threes. So I understand if you were mad that he was going off script. Like, that would make me pissed off, too, if I was either a coach or manager. But you know what? Your plan sucked.
Well, that gets back to the coach. I mean, there were a lot of people who just wanted a coaching change. Keep everything the same and a new coach. Somebody who is forceful enough to say, don't do this, do that. I mean, we're not doing this anymore.
All right, let's squeeze in Tim real quick on line one. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I have a question.
Yes.
Why is it the worst possible thing if Jaylen Brown calls it his favorite season when the Celtics were expected to be a bad team, a seller team, a non-playoff team? And not only did they defy those odds, but they got to that under his leadership. Why is it so bad that he enjoyed this season of defying expectations? Why does it need to turn into, oh, Jason Tatum wasn't here, and that's why I liked it so much?
Because it's a total dick thing to say when your best player and a good friend of yours is out for the whole season, and you have a season where you won a championship together. That's why.
If you were Tatum, Tim, wouldn't you feel that way?
He's gone, yeah. Oh. But yeah, I mean, it's a dick thing to say.
I said that at the time, too, with Tim. I echoed kind of the same sentiment, but it is. It's tone deaf.
There's not even a question. And
especially it wasn't a one-off. It was seeded. He quadrupled down, for God's sake.
Yeah, like if they would have won, understand basketball-wise, you had a good season. But, dude, you won an effing championship before.
I stand on it. I triple down, quadruple down, whatever
triple,
y'all want
quadruple,
to say.
Chat. Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. I'm liking the calls today. People very sassy. They got good points. I like that.
Oh, I mean, like calls work, and Stiz correctly puts them on, and I mean, no major screw ups
with the new studio.
Still early.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. We're not going anywhere. Back in 2 minutes.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.